You know, as we go and we look at and begin to look at the scriptures for a holy week, as we begin to see what the Lord has done in this road to the cross, you know, how many people have heard this passage many times? How many people think that they could probably preach the message, and yet every time God wants to get something more for you to see there. I want you to get past that we put Romans 19. I want you to just center in this morning on looking at the road to the cross. I want you to look at Jesus entering into Jerusalem, fulfilling all of the things that God the Father wanted Him to do. I want you to look at it, including the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, leading to the redemption of mankind and the defeat of sin and Satan trying to do everything he can so man could not be redeemed. I want us to look at this familiar verse this morning, and I want you to see the attitude of the people and the change that the attitude of the people had. You know, Jesus made this triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and at one point we see that the crowd went from praising Jesus to wanting to crucify Him. They went from following Him to betraying Him. And yet Jesus was determined that He was going to go to the cross. Jesus was determined that He was going to fulfill what God the Father wanted. The devil wanted to send Him to the cross too, but the devil didn't understand what was going to happen on and off of that cross for man's redemption. Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 28, reading over to verse 44. After Jesus had said this, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As He approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as He had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As He went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When He came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' He replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, He wept over it. And He said, 'If you, even you, had only known of this day what would bring peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and circle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Father, as we just go to look at Your Word here, as we in previous weeks looked at the grace of God and all the things that we see that it's God's riches at Christ's expense. And today, as we look at the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, as we begin Holy Week, as we begin to see what You've done for each and every one of us, Lord God. And then this morning we're going to look, Lord, just for a moment at the attitude of the crowd and their variance of one moment praising God, yelling Hosanna, and the next minute crucifying and betraying Him. Lord God, that we would check our hearts this morning to make sure where we're at. Lord God, that You would speak directly to each one of us this morning in Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see that a lot of people know about the cross. A lot of people know about Jesus Christ, but it's about having a relationship. Not many have experienced what the cross means to so many people. I see this illustration this week. It talks about this famous preacher who long ago pastored this church that was filled with all kinds of people that would travel miles to get to the service. Now imagine, some of you travel pretty far, and then you see that there's a church here of people that would travel and walk every day, every Sunday to church, and one day a passerby was catching the church as they were going out, and he went up to a person that was coming out and said, "Hey, you know, what's so special about this church? What's so special about this pastor's message that is so compelling that you would walk and come every Sunday and go miles?" And the person, without hesitation, says this. He says, "The preacher will take you to the mountaintop. The preacher will take you to the valley. The preacher will bring you to laughter and to tears. He will have you jumping around with joy and the next minute having you down on your knees. But at the end of the message, he will always bring you to the cross." And this morning, that is my desire. That as we look at this passage of Scripture, and we can see the high points, the low points, we can see the laughter, we can see the tears, but at the end, we all need to fall at the foot of the cross and understand what Jesus Christ has done. Palm Sunday is Jesus Christ fulfilling what God the Father wanted for Him to accomplish, for Him to be able to fulfill what needed to happen. Jesus going to Jerusalem. Jesus, even seeing the temple, clearing the temple, and then you see that he's betrayed by one of his own. You see that they share the Last Supper together. And then you see and follow Jesus all the way to the cross as he gives his life on the cross. And then next week we're looking at experiencing the power of the resurrection. See, it's all well and good if Jesus would have just died, but if there was no resurrection, it wouldn't have impacted their life. So all of this fulfilling God's plan for redemption, you know, that Holy Week, that walk of Jesus changed mankind forever, whether we want to accept it or not. It changed mankind forever. That is the road that Jesus Christ took to the road of the cross. The triumph entry into Jerusalem, the riding on a donkey that symbolizes humility rather than a war horse. That crowd was looking for him to come in on a white horse. That crowd was looking for him to do something far beyond what he was trying to do. He was coming in to fulfill prophecy. He had people all the way from praising him to who is he? What can he offer us? And you see that, you know, some laying their coats on the ground as a sign of loyalty and, you know, spreading these palm branches. And a lot of churches this morning would have handed you palm branches and we'd be waving them around and all the people that were screaming, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." All three of these praises being a sign of exalting a leader. All three of these being expressions of praise. And then 5 days later, these same people are yelling, "Crucify him." These same people are allowing a criminal to escape his punishment and that Jesus should have it instead. And my question to you this morning is, what happened? What happened? Why did they go from praising to convicting? Why did they have this change of heart? See, history tells us that Jerusalem at the time was probably 50,000 people. And because it was Passover, there was about 150,000 people there. And then they were all looking and they were all searching. And the Roman army goes and they're beefing up their army because they don't want any trouble. They want to stop this Jesus. They want to stop what's going on. And you know, the people thought that Jesus was coming to just take control of the suppressive army. They just thought that he was going to come in and be their leader. And in that crowd was a variety of people. And here's what I want you to look at for a moment this morning. There's a variety of people that are in that congregation. There's a variety of people in that road this morning. There's a variety of people in every avenue of our life. See, some of them are followers. They're going to be the ones that say, "Hail Jesus." They're the ones that get it. They understand and they're acknowledging, "Hail Jesus." And then there was the critics. They were the ones that were saying, "Who is this? What's all the noise? Why is it so busy?" They would be in modern day today. They'd be the ones in road rage because they would try to dart out in front of somebody wondering, "Hey, what's the holdup?" Becky and I were traveling the other day and we watched a guy just about wreck because he couldn't wait a minute. You know, what's all the noise? What's the delay? Goes out around somebody and had lost control of the vehicle for a moment. So they would be the critics. "Hey, what's all the noise? What's all the delay?" And then there was the curious. We always have the curious. They're the rubberneckers at an accident. They're the ones that are just looking in, wondering what's going on, and you know, they don't want to get too close. Don't get in my airspace. Don't steal my thunder. Don't get close to me. They're the curious ones. They're gonna say, "Hey, what's this all about?" And then there's a core believer. And they're going to be the ones that are going to be willing to die for Jesus. They're going to be the ones that understand what Jesus has accomplished. They're going to be the ones that understand what Jesus is still wanting to do. And they're going to be a select few. But here's the thing I want to show you and tell you this morning. There's every one of those people in every crowd that you come to, isn't there? Every avenue of life, there's a crowd of believers. You're going to have the believers. You're going to have the curious. You're going to have the ones that, you know, they're going to be real critical. You ever try to do something and they won't help you, but they'll tell you how you should have done it? They're the ones that would have been, hail Jesus, you know, Hosanna in the highest, but the first bit of trouble that they have, they're bailing on Jesus. I know, I just know people like that. None of you would ever know anybody like that. See, some of them need to move from being a critic to being committed. Now, that's a sermon in itself, isn't it? Because we watch it every day in Christianity, every day in our churches, all churches, the church universal. You've got some that need to move from critic. Don't tell me how to do it. Show me how to do it. Don't want to be a secondhand person. Be the leader. Step up. Show me what it means to be committed. And then to all of those, I say, if they would get to that point where they would get past that curiosity, if they get past that being critical. To be a commitment. See, that's where endurance is. Jesus was able to go to the cross because of endurance, because he was committed to the task. He was committed to what he wanted to accomplish for God the Father. Each one of us, as we have these ups and down days, Ben said today about some of the week being good, some of it being awful. We've all been there. We understand that. But the way that you endure through times like that is going to be because you're committed. Because how many know that every day with Jesus is not happy in the sense that everything goes right? And you got to trust the Lord for the things that are in front of you. You know, you got to get past some of the circumstance. You got to get past some of the things somebody says to you. You got to get past some of the attitudes. And Jesus is just saying here, if you would get past some of this critical part and get to being to the part of being committed. And then there's others in that crowd that have to move from being curious to be a core of believers. See, there's a difference between member and attender. There's a difference between being actively involved and socially watching. And Jesus is looking for those that are going to be willing to go to that next level. We talk about the box and getting out of the box all the time. We talk about conquering fear. And I'm always thankful when I watch somebody go to the next level. Something that has hindered them at one point in their life, and they move on and they're able to get to that next part. See, it's okay to be curious. Now hear me. It's okay to be curious. We're all curious at times. You just can't stay there forever. You get that? You can't stay there forever. And here this morning, we may be standing on that side of the road. But after the message this morning, you got to do something with Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? There comes a point where you can be curious, and it's okay to be curious. You can't stay there forever. There comes a point where you need to go from being a critic to being committed. You got to go from just attending to be a member. You've got to go from just watching from the sideline to actively involved. And as soon as we watch some of these, we see the nature of human beings. We just watch it because some of them are standing on the side, and as soon as they learned what? That Jesus wasn't going to do what they expected, what happened? They began to change allegiance. They began to shift in the crowd. They began to have a change of attitude. See, they wanted Jesus to be a king, but they didn't understand what kind of king Jesus wanted to be. They expected him to be this Messiah that was going to be great politically and a military leader who would free them from the tyranny of the Roman Empire. But the kingdom of God is not of this world. And they didn't understand that. They didn't understand what Jesus was trying to do. Jesus is saying, my kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And my kingdom is growing in the hearts of people who put their faith and trust in Jesus. Just like the song said this morning. And you have to understand that for almost 3 years, the conspiracy level against Jesus was mounting. And you have to see that even the religious people hated him. It's kind of bizarre. But the more Jesus' presence was with those religious people, the more they were convicted about the way that they presented themselves. And the more that Jesus, sometimes without even saying anything, they began to see. So the religious people hated him. The Romans didn't trust them. They're beefing up their army. They're making sure that there's no attempt of a coup. They're making sure that, you know, that Jesus is not going to be elevated to the point of causing problems. And the very people that were going to that he was willing to die for didn't understand what he was trying to accomplish. Didn't understand his purpose and his pain. So Palm Sunday to me is a celebration. It's a celebration of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. It's watching Jesus humbly come in on a colt rather than a war horse. It's Jesus very clearly saying that he didn't come to destroy, but he came to come in love. Luke 9:51 says he set his face to Jerusalem. I love that verse. Jesus Christ was determined that he was going to finish the task that God had given him. See, don't you love this? People actually thought they drove Jesus to the cross. He willfully went.
Amen.
He willfully took that road. Those religious leaders thought that they were forcing the hand of Jesus down the road of the cross. Those critics thought that the more they could say would be the more that they could turn people against Jesus. And Jesus willfully decided in his mind and openly that he's going to redeem mankind. They didn't drive him, he willfully went. People will make up their own minds whether they're going to serve Jesus. We talked about this in our Bible study. We talked about this many times in different small groups and everything else. People are going to make up their mind whether they're going to serve God or not. Our responsibility is to give them an opportunity. Our responsibility is to show them that what God has done in our lives. But people will make up their own minds. Each one of us has to, so to speak, be on the side of the road and figure out what attitude of the people we're going to have. You know, they wanted Jesus to be a king, and Jesus wanted to be a savior. See, that's the big difference. They wanted somebody to take control, be this leader, bring them out of this suppressive authority of Rome. And Jesus said, I want to be a savior. I want to be your Savior. They wanted outside change, and Jesus says, I want to come and bring inside change. Yes. I, the people wanted Jesus to be the one that would transfer the power back to the people, and Jesus says, I want all praise to go back to God the Father. They all said and looked at Jesus and said, the Romans are the problem. Jesus says, no, you are. Your attitude is the problem. See, listen, as I wind this down and not necessarily stopping, you know me. Doesn't mean I'm necessarily going to stop, but listen to me. No prophet can be a savior. A prophet can only denounce sin and promote salvation. You know, we see that in the forerunner of John the Baptist to Jesus. Because they can't atone for sin. Only Jesus can. They can't reconcile people to God. Only Jesus can do that. See, I love this because I look at this. I see the city of Jerusalem was moved, but they weren't saved. Think about that for a second. See, because someone sheds tears doesn't mean there's their transformation. You get that? Jerusalem was moved by Jesus. They 1 minute they were on fire, praising him, and the next minute they were condemning him, but they were moved, but they weren't saved. Jesus is looking to be the Savior. Jesus is looking to come in and make the changes in our lives. Luke 19 says that Jesus approached that city and wept. And at that time, the religious leaders came in and they told Jesus, rebuke your disciples. Rebuke them for trying to stand up. And Jesus says, look, if they don't cry out, the rocks are going to cry out. If they don't exalt God the Father, then, they can't keep quiet because even the rocks will cry out. And then he goes on to say, the day is coming when all this will be destroyed, because you don't get it. You don't understand this. Verse 44, they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. God came to the Jews in the person of Jesus Christ and they didn't recognize Him. They didn't acknowledge Him. Then they rejected Him. So my question to you is, what does Easter mean to you? You know what it means to most people? They got to eat egg salad for 2 weeks. That's really what it amounts to. But to the wise, it could mean salvation. To the wise, it could mean that you're going to experience the love of God like never before. And I think about this. There's two recorded times that I read in Scriptures that Jesus wept. One of them was when he was with Mary and Martha and Lazarus was in the grave. And before he raised him up, Jesus sees the compassion of Mary and Martha and sheds a tear as he looks at them. And the other place is over Jerusalem because they didn't get it. They didn't understand his purpose. And Jesus approaches both situations with compassion and he identifies with their sorrow and their despair. And the scripture tells us they had eyes, but they didn't see. They had ears, but didn't hear. And they totally missed the message that God had for them. I look at this and I see they were God's people. God loved them. God cared about what was going on. He leads them across the wilderness and he takes them into this promised land. But they didn't understand the Messiah that was walking right with them. And because of that, that's when then the scripture says he wept. And today we find ourselves, we're living in our own Jerusalems. Because we find ourselves where the presence of God is. And God's wanting to do this tremendous work. And I wonder sometimes, what would God see when he looks in our eyes? What would he see in the crowd as he looks through the crowd? You know, will God see concern for taxes and health and busyness and job security? You know, so busy that we miss the importance of knowing God. You know, are we going to, see that we miss it? And that we see that the road of Jerusalem was this road of submission. And it's the same today. It's a road of submission and obedience to Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. The way of Jesus is tough. But the great part is that he tells us each and every day that he will be there with us each and every step. If any of us want to be followers, the Word tells us that we must turn from our selfish ways and take up your cross and follow me. Scripture very clearly says, my ways and not our own selfish ways. Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer terrible things and be rejected by the elders. We lived that during that period of time, and we live that every day today. And it's happening now, and it's going to happen until Jesus returns. But we have a choice not to be like the others and reject him. I think the cheering stops when we let our circumstance get in front of our desires of knowing God. We look at the cheering stop when Jesus knew their heart here and seen their desires, and we see that their mouth just echoed what was in their heart. And sometimes I worry because we experience heartache and then our cheering stops. Then our prayer shifts and it becomes, Lord, deliver me. Lord, help me. When sometimes it ought to be instead, Lord, mold me. Lord, use me. We desire to see God change circumstances instead of God changing us. And we lose sight of God and his purpose. We want to praise him for what he can do for us, but we don't want to praise him for who he is. And to me, the heart of Palm Sunday is this road to Calvary. And I got to say this, I'm glad there's Palm Sunday. I'm glad there's Monday, Thursday. I'm glad there's Good Friday, because if there wasn't all of those, it wouldn't be Easter Resurrection Sunday. Each one of those things we need to, as we look at the triumph entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, desiring to be a part of our lives. And I ask you, and I'm going to close here in just a minute, and you know, where's the commitment level? What kind of person are you standing on the side of the road? See, you got to fit into one of these categories. You've got to be one of them. And this morning, if you're sitting here and you've never made a commitment to Christ, then I would say to you this morning, don't leave here without doing that. Make your relationship right with him. Maybe you're here this morning and you just never made him Lord of your life. You've acknowledged that he's Lord, but he's never been Lord of your life. And there again this morning, I would say, don't leave here without doing that. Because something has always gotten in your way. Some circumstance has always gotten in your way. And this morning, I would just encourage you right where you're at, that today you're going to take him as Lord. That you're going to understand where the Scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And then it goes on to say, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of the Father.